You love your kids and cherish your time with them. But everyone needs a break. That's why I use Benadryl. Benadryl uses all-natural antihistamines to regulate their energy to an acceptable level for the end of my day. I don't know how it works, but I like it. 3 out of 5 pediatricians recommend Benadryl above locking your kids in a closet. As an added bonus, for the next 4 hours, he isn't as allergic to fucking peanuts. Benadryl, not really a sponsor of the Dad Podcast. Drink responsibly.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. This is episode number, I forget, but if I kill time long enough, I will be able to find out. I'm going to go with number 80. I hope that's a correct number. I am here at last with our fantastic, although I don't know if we still have to call you this, the love intern, Miss Rachel Gibbs. How are you, Miss Rachel?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Justin?
I am doing well. I am doing very well. So much has happened, so we're going to spend a chunk of time getting caught up on what's going on in Rachel's life, if you care to share with us.
Yeah,
I know
absolutely.
that you've moved.
I did move. I'm living in the Bay Area.
Yeah. And you also, I know, because I follow you on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and everything.
And everything.
Yeah, probably more than just a what is basically a stranger should be connected to you. you have a fantastic new gig. Can you talk about your new gig?
Absolutely. I'm working for Family and Children's Services of Silicon Valley, and I'm working with parolees and people on probation, generally speaking, that are in substance abuse treatment.
Nice. Now, is this – now, here's what I – because the last time when we first started our relationship with you via this show, you were into the process of logging hours in, quote-unquote, the simulator of therapy. Is this a part of that, or are you like –
It is. It is a part of it. I actually just hit, I think, 1650 this week.
What?
Yeah. So I'm over halfway now.
Nice. That's halfway?
Yeah.
You have to have 3,000 hours?
3,000 hours.
Holy. I mean, I guess it makes sense. I guess I should be happy about that. But it's, to me, that just seems like so many hours.
Right. So if you see a licensed therapist, they put in their time.
I'm going to – if I ever go to see my therapist again, I'm going to go, hey – good job on that 3,000.
Right? She'll be like, thank you.
How dare you assume it's a woman? I use a man. How dare you? No, I'm kidding. It is a guy, but I don't really care. Anyway, because I make jokes about being sexist. So how long have you been doing it? Are you loving it? Is it fun?
I'm loving it. You know, I miss my couples.
Yeah.
I do miss my couples. And I miss my sex therapy sessions.
Oh.
So I'm still like keeping up on research and doing all that. I'm getting my doctorate, so I'm working on that in school. But yeah, I get to talk about like meth and coke and weed all day at work. So that's fun.
Oh, good times.
Yeah.
So am I right? My assumption would be that you would do like you would look at these different areas of expertise as a way of dipping your toe in the water to see what you ultimately would like to settle in on as a specialty.
Exactly. Okay. And I know my specialty will be with couples and sex therapy because that's what I'm super passionate about. But working in substance abuse is it can be very similar to sex addiction and there's lots of things to be learned. So I'm really much enjoying it.
Well, just like you could be it just makes you more well-rounded within your profession, I would imagine.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nice. Well, here's what's going on with me. The listeners are pretty much caught up on what's been going on because they, you know, I started at the beginning of the year really talking about it, but I'll get you caught up on it too, since you and I are kind of podcast friends.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because at the end of March, I'm going to be playing Rooster Teeth Feathers. So don't think that there will not be some kind of lunch situation happening.
We're going to get lunch.
Uh-huh. Listen, we could do whatever. We could go hang out. I mean, I have all day. You'll probably be working. But on a Saturday afternoon, and there is a slight chance my wife might be coming with me.
This is very exciting, Justin.
We could double date with the Gibbs. And
I'll bring my man.
Yeah.
My man who moved in with me in August. Yeah.
Is he staring at you right now, or is he gone?
He's actually at work right now.
What the hell? It's like 8 o'clock at night. What's he doing?
He bartends.
Oh.
He's a fantastic bartender.
Providing job security for his lady.
Yes, pretty much. And when I come home, he makes really good cocktails. So it's a total win-win.
Meow. And so here's what's going on with me. I went out on the road in December. I left on December 5th, came home on, if I remember correctly, the 18th. Was home until the 26th, and then did not return until January 13th. And that much time being away from my wife and children made me realize that a life on the road of telling jokes is not something that's going to keep me happy.
Aww.
So I've been making a huge push to turn this into a paid show, because if everybody that listened to the show paid $2 a month or $24 a year, as it is now, which is the same number if you're a math major... That's I would.
Yes, 2 times 12 is 24.
You are welcome. Not everyone knows that, Rachel.
No, that is true. It actually took me a minute. I'm not a math person. I read feelings, not numbers.
I love it. So I'm trying to find a way to get off the road. I've been doing a lot of voiceover work, which helps out a lot. And I want to turn this into a gig. And then I'm also going to try and transition to actually doing a radio gig as a full-time kind of thing. So that's where I am, because it's just sad, man. I don't know. Like, I just feel like you get out there, you're by yourself 23 hours of the day. And sure, you play video games for the first 5 hours. Remember what it was like when you were 24 and had no kids. And just like, and then after that, you're like, well, there's a reason why I had children. And I got married to my high school sweetheart. It's because I don't like to be alone. So I got to change that. So that's what's going on with me. What else is going on? I have child sickness. Have you had? You had a cold last week. That's why we're recording this tonight, right?
I had the
2 weeks.
Flu.
Oh,
yeah, it was bad. Get your flu shots, people.
Did you not get a flu shot?
No.
Oh, our other doctor, Dr. J, would be shaking his head.
I know.
Right now.
He'd totally be like nodding back and forth, just shamefully at me right now.
He'd be smacking his lips like
yeah,
that kind
exactly.
of noise.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I did not. I did not get a flu shot, and I was down. I was out of work for a week and a half.
Ooh, good times.
Like, down. It was bad.
Well, this is what I realized with my wife is, and many people have children, and the more kids you have, I feel like it just makes this process even longer. You see, when you have... as you could, I'm sure, imagine, Ms. Gibbs, is that when you have children, an illness will then bounce around between you. So it's really like going through some kind of slow motion Chariots of Fire illness. You know, it's just instead of, you know, you having a cold for 2 or 3 days on a common cold, when you had children in the mix, you have 3 or 4 days of one child being sick and then another 3 days of the other child being sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they have to give it to you, and then you have to give it to your loved one. And then maybe if you're lucky, it leaves there. But most of the time, it likes to take a second lap around. And right now, it's taking its second lap around with the Warsham family. And it is not good times.
How does that happen? Like, how do doctors see sick people every day and not get sick? And then a family of four just keeps swirling it around.
I have no idea. I think this is what Dr. J has told us, is that it's really honestly comes down to washing your hands. That if children at schools were, like, say it was a thing where they set an alarm every hour and wash their hands, that you would see, like, illness just drop.
Wow.
Within the preschools. But every parent who has a preschool-age kid, or if you decide not or can't do preschool, then when your child enters kindergarten, you spend the first year or two of that child's immune system becoming a hardened candy shell to disease, because they just get everything. It's just a petri dish of it. That's the only real reason for preschool to exist. So
that's it's terrifying.
Oh, it's horrible. And then to add to that, my oldest son has issues taking medicine. And it
is like pills or liquid?
No, like cough syrup type medicine.
Why?
Because he's a pansy. And
wait, how old is he now?
He's 5. And here's the thing. I'm reluctant, and I know I started this conversation. It was not part of my plan. I'm reluctant to honestly say this with a therapist. 1,600 hours or not, that be damned. I'm reluctant to say this in front of a therapist for fear that it is going to unravel some kind of inner thing within me that I am unaware of. But I really do believe that the parents listening to this that have had a child that will gag at the smell of cough syrup and just the anxiety mixed with frustration and love, and at the same time a desire to choke. It's like it's just a hodgepodge. It is an emotional slop for a pig.
I totally get it.
To pig just to come in there because it's hard because I'm the dad, so I have wiring in me that makes me go, listen, you got to suck it up and run, just put it in there. It's going to put hair on your chest and your balls are going to grow bigger, damn it. But at the same time, I remember that I tasted medicine and hated it. But then there's like this 85-year-old man that also lives in my head that says things like, you know, when I was a kid, we didn't even have flavored medicine. They just gave us a straight codeine. That's what we did. And I had bronchitis, chronic bronchitis when I was your age.
They just fed you whiskey.
They fed you whiskey and milk, and you liked it. So, this literally, Rachel, this is why I did not plan on bringing this up with you. Because
yeah, not at all.
Literally happened an hour and a half ago. Literally.
Oh, poor little thing.
No, not poor little thing.
Yes, it's a poor little thing.
This is my hour, not that little shit's hour. He can't hear me. I have acoustic foam everywhere in this room.
Yeah, I saw it. That was actually really cool.
But he and his mom is she's being the mom, and so she has these weird tricks that she like rubs his nose like he's a gazelle and pats him on the back, and then and I'm mixing sugar with Gatorade and like some kind of weird cocktail that your boyfriend could make. Maybe I should hire a bartender saying, how do you disguise the taste of disgusting?
He does disguise the taste. It's really, I could have gone somewhere horrible with that. But yeah, he's really good at that.
I'm afraid of the horrible place, and
yeah,
yet
we're good.
The monkey in my brain wants to know, like a car crash. Did somebody die?
No, I was thinking about this article that I just read about how men can eat different things to change the taste of their semen.
Ah, yes, the old pineapple trick, pineapple
yeah,
juice.
Yeah, that's actually true, though, the pineapple
what?
Thing, for men and women.
Yeah. What's
yeah,
up, Hawaii? I did not know
that. Real?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a wives' tale.
No, that's actually a real thing.
No, well, the real reason why I'm not going to change it is because I want my wife to get the full dose of me.
It could still be the full dose of you.
But I want it to be in all its salty glory. I don't even know what it tastes like. I don't know what it tastes like. I wish I could even say that I was the guy who tasted his own. This took a sudden turn.
See, I told you we shouldn't have gone there.
You're right. You're right. Another episode, maybe.
You forced my hand.
But here's the thing. The funny thing about people and listening to radio or podcasts is that in my brain, they would much rather we talk about this than go back to me trying to choke Mucinex down my 5-year-old son's throat.
You know, it's... Yeah, probably.
Probably. But because it's a parenting podcast, you guys need to go find a sex podcast if that's what you want to. Not that I'm not okay with talking about it. Maybe we'll bring around and I'll dip my toe in the water after this. But
this is true.
Because I'm not done with this. Because it's a weird thing that they put flavoring in the medicine now, but it doesn't really knock the flavor out. So it's not really helping. It's like a kind of help. It's what yeah. I'm doing with my semen right now.
Oh, God. Oh, Justin.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, listen, nobody's enjoying it, but you have to do it. Because it's what's good.
Is your semen going to help your wife sleep better at night, too?
I think it does. That's what I tell her anyway. But I feel
it's an extra. Kyle always tells me it's an extra dose of protein.
Yeah, that's good.
You can skip a protein shake.
You are welcome. No eggs for you in the morning.
Mr. Boombastic, maybe fantastic.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, boy. Men think they're so cool.
I really do. I mean, of course, my man is totally
right. Of course,
awesome.
And my wife would lie to the public just like you do. But I always want to know, like, you know what I mean? Like, imagine us talking, like, you're Angelina Jolie and he's Brad Pitt. You know, like a really sexy, good looking guy.
Wait, we're not Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. You don't know what he looks like.
You're right. I don't. But okay. Well, then don't imagine. Just be you. My hypothetical.
We're our sexy selves. Yes.
Right. But my point is that you look at a guy like a Brad Pitt or a Johnny Depp and you just think everything off of them is cool. But I have to imagine that maybe like an O-face or something just makes them look completely stupid and uncool. Like, they've had to have that moment of like, oh, baby, I'm going to give it to you all night. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. No, baby, it's okay. No, I'm Johnny Depp. It's not okay. No, but seriously, no, it's okay. Listen.
Do you think that celebrities have to, like, sign contracts before...
coitus?
They have sex with, like, let's say I was walking down the street and like Brad Pitt was like, hey, I want to cheat on my wife with you, and I called Kyle and he was like, go for it, babe. Like, do you think I'd have to sign a contract to like not tell the story about like anything that happened?
I may be overthinking our hypothetical, but I think you just called your boyfriend to see if you could cheat on him with your boyfriend. Because in your other hypothetical, you are Angelina Jolie, and he is Brad Pitt.
You know, you're right.
Yeah. So I think you're good. I think you're okay. Yeah, I don't think you have to sign anything unless it's some kind of role-playing thing that you're doing.
Valid point.
But if we go to level two on the inception of your hypothetical, and we we say... I think that you can't ruin the mood. If I'm Brad Pitt and I've chosen a lucky lady, I think it makes it harder if you're Brad Pitt and you're already married. Let's see, who's a good single? The Chris Pine.
No, you know? Leonardo DiCaprio.
Great example, because that great joke that Tina Fey and Amy Poehler said about them on the Golden Globes.
So funny.
I just turned this into a chick podcast and
you did there. I got really excited.
Like, what? How did they say? Give him a warm welcome, like only supermodels' vaginas do.
Yes, yes.
Essentially, and he came out and he was like, "Ha ha!" Like he was like, "Yeah, that's a good."
He actually laughed though.
Yeah.
He's like a super socially awkward human being, so it was nice to see, because he's been my celebrity man since I was about 9. So
yeah. You'd like him to give you some growing pains, I bet.
Oh yes, with Kirk Cameron, that's fine too.
Yeah, double down. I'm sorry, but your fantasy just played out in my head, and what would happen was Kurt would probably be into it, like, not probably, he would be into it, but he would feel very shameful afterwards and like want to repent and cry,
and then he'd have to talk to Alan Thicke about it.
Yep. Yeah.
Here we go.
Well, you know, son, you gave it to her good and you did it with your young cousin. I say go for it.
How did this get to this point right now? How did we get to this?
This is what happens when it's been a while since I've talked to somebody.
Apparently.
And it's been a while since I've been able to podcast, to be honest. The listeners who are on top of it, if you're playing catch up, you don't know the difference. But the listeners who are on top of it already know that I'm a day late, which usually really means that I'm about a week and a half. Because I try to do like one or two episodes a week to try and stay ahead for said occasions when a guest has to cancel or something changes, or in this case, like you had to cancel, I think, last week, and then I had another guest that was going to come by, but then my kid got sick. Like, last week,
yeah. Shit happens. Like, it's...
Of course.
It's, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not mad at anybody, but that...
I thought you were mad at me.
Oh, I'm so bad at sending wrong signals. But my issue was, that was another thing. My kid, one day, one kid had a cough, and then the other kid had pink eye.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so it's just...
Sounds like a nightmare.
And here's the thing. The reality is that it's not. It's not really that bad. What you realize when your kids start going to school, even if it is preschool, and then they have to stay home, you realize how much you enjoy those 6 hours.
And it makes you,
yeah, it makes you feel kind of bad. Like, I wish I was a better person that I could sit here and go, oh, it's so great. We're going to cuddle on the couch and we're going to watch movies and everything. But in reality, what comes out of my face sometimes is like, listen, I got shit to do, okay? You guys are messing up my mojo. So I need you to be quiet.
That's, you know, you might want to take that to your therapist.
Oh, boy. Here we go again. Here we go again. Let them take it to their therapist. It's about time they started
footing
the
bill. Oh, he will. Don't worry.
I love therapists so much, I'm trying to pay it forward. That's what I do.
You're just keeping their business alive.
Right.
That's all.
I just, you know, because I don't want them to grow up and think that, you know, oh, my life was great. No, Dad got a little hammered and he got a little heavy with the adult language. That's never happened. Now I'm taking
never,
the joke too far.
Never.
But it is funny because I didn't yell at them for being sick, but I was like, I was sitting in the chair going, man, God, I got to. And then that's, of course, when I get emails going, oh, hey, we need this pickup real quick on this voiceover job. Oh, could you do this? And I'm like, God, geez. And I'm thinking, how can I reschedule? And, you know, and then, of course, one kid's like, I touch my eye. I go, okay, well, go wash your hands. And, you know, and
oh, God.
You got to put drops in the eye. And then you're like going, okay, how do I not get the other one to have pink eye? But they want to play with each other. And so you're like,
pink eye is horrible.
Oh. It's a weird disease because it doesn't hurt. It's not really irritating. It is just, it is like a safe, it's a cold version of leprosy. You know what
I mean? Yeah, it is because it's so contagious.
And disgusting. Like you just have ooze out of your eye and your eye's all puffy and red. But other than, it doesn't hurt anybody. Nobody's ever died of pink eye that I know of.
No.
Never lost their vision.
I forget what my boyfriend calls it. It's like fart eye or poop eye or something, because you know, to get it you have to literally get shit in your eye.
I don't know if that's true. I think that's a wives' tale that people picked up from Knocked Up.
No, way before that.
Really?
Yes.
All
it's literally, it's a cold, it's either a cold in your eye, which is something different, but actual pink eye is like feces that got into your eye.
Really?
And for anybody who can prove me wrong, I'm not a medical doctor, so that's okay.
But that means that my kid got poop in his eye?
Yeah, he probably didn't wash his hands.
I should be watching him more.
Yeah.
Instead of yelling at him.
It's true. But one time I got pink eye and I wash my hands every time. So.
Yeah, that's. See, that's a part. Well, maybe you got the cold in your eye version. We don't know.
That's true. Who knows? I was like 19, so I don't remember.
Oh, I think I got it, but I got it for my kids. That's
probably.
What I got it when they first, like, I didn't even think, I thought it was only a thing that happened to you in third world countries. And then what I did was I sent my kid to preschool, which is essentially a third world country.
And he came
back with pink eye, I think some form of syphilis. I don't even know how he got it. My wife had crabs. Don't know how she got that.
Wait, we can't joke about the syphilis. You know that story about STDs at a preschool, right?
No.
There was, oh gosh, this was like a year and a half ago. A teacher was fired and sued because she walked in on two preschoolers. The girl was actually giving the little boy a blowjob.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, they were 4.5 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And the teacher didn't report it because she didn't want it to go against the school. And so she ended up getting sued and fired.
And the kids got STDs, or that you just thought?
Yeah, no. It just made me think of that. I don't know if the kids got STDs.
I like that. That's because my mind was like, that little whore is just giving it to every little boy there.
Well, you were talking about preschoolers and sexually transmitted
it is connected.
Diseases.
It's
so
not
my
that...
mind just went there.
No,
and apparently
right.
The girl had said that that's what she saw her parents doing.
Wow.
So she wanted to try it at school.
You have,
so keep your doors locked.
You have officially ruined preschool for, I'm going to guess, 38% of my listeners.
Right? Isn't that terrifying?
I'm just going, great. There's another thing I need to worry about.
Yeah. The girl who's going to try to go down on your 4-year-old son.
Although I think if you got a son, you're okay with it. Like, I think it's really if you have the daughter that's when you feel uncomfortable. That's
Could you imagine? She's like, Mommy, guess what I did today?
Yeah, I don't, that's, maybe it's just a defense mechanism that I have in my brain, but my mind always says that stuff would never happen to me. But I'm sure those parents had thought the exact same thing. Like,
exactly.
But to keep our brains safe, we all say, well, that's in a ghetto somewhere, or there's something, you know, some kind of weird thing going on.
Yeah, no, and this was like some public or private Christian school.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's why she didn't say anything, the teacher.
Oh, that makes it even worse, I feel like. Yeah.
And as a therapist, that drove me insane. I was very upset about that.
Do you know anything about whether or not you walking in, because we've all done it, we've all been there, you walking in on your parents, can that literally cause damage or make you?
So they're going to kill me if they ever hear this, but I did walk in on my parents once. I was like.
Why would they kill you? Everybody does it.
No, they'd kill me. Well, they're divorced now, and my dad's engaged, so.
But hold on. I know this isn't what you want to talk about, in case they do hear this. Let's not make it longer. But is it just the idea? Because to me, the idea that your parents having sex is you. Right in front of everybody.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
It's nothing. Kids don't ever. I could picture the ugliest people in the world having sex, and I'd rather think about that than my parents, who are both very attractive people.
Yeah. Well, here, I'll make your parents feel a lot better. I walked in on my mom and my dad. That was incredibly ugly and weird and just like, what is happening? And I also have not walked in on, but I have heard from down the hallway my dad and my stepmom. But one of my favorite stories that I've told in my stand-up act a couple of times is that when I was about 8 years old, my dad sent me into his bedroom for his wallet. So I ran in there, grabbed the wallet on the nightstand, and I remember turning around. And I saw my dad used to have a contracting and maintenance business. Uh-huh. And there were two halogen tree lights that he would use to go and sweep concrete at night if a job ever went long or something like that. And they were in the bedroom. I'm like, why did you put them? I guess he didn't want them to get rained on. It was weird. And I kept moving. And then I saw the family video camera. And I look at that. And I was like, what? Why is that in here on the tripod? And why? Oh, it's connected to the TV. Maybe they were watching something. And I left, right? Cut to 16 years old. I'm sitting at the McDonald's drive-thru on Oakdale Road and Floyd Avenue. That's still there in Modesto, California, my hometown. And all of a sudden, that memory washes over me again for no reason at all. But now I understand the context. And so I'm waiting. I'm in between the first window and the second window going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Why? Why were they taping it? Why did they need playback? Why were they doing this?
My goodness.
What could your parents possibly do that's worse? My parents were very open about sex, always have been.
So were mine.
I thought it was great because one time I said, I could totally hear you guys having sex. I think by this point I was almost a teenager, though. I said, I could hear you guys having sex last night. And I remember my mom saying, she goes, how do you know it was me and not your sister? Because my sister had a boyfriend over. And I said, because your bed squeaks. Now, I was never uncomfortable about that. That was never a weird, like, shy, embarrassed moment. I've shared this story many times on the show. I told my parents the day after I lost my virginity.
Oh, yeah. No, my parents were super open, too. That's probably why I want to go into sex therapy. But from a very young age, I mean, I took sex ed when I was I just turned 9, maybe 8 and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom and I went to like a mommy and me class, and then they did the same thing with my brother and my dad.
And so this is like a separate thing, not something that's associated with the public school or what?
Yeah, no, it was a separate private class. It was called the Birds and the Bees, and it was one for girls and one for boys. And so for the girls, they taught, you know, all the period stuff, and, you know, for boys, they taught wet dreams and all of that good stuff. And
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you're more important. Trust me.
No. Oh, well, thanks. I remember vividly sitting there and they showed there was like a plastic vagina.
Yeah.
And like you could see like the inside of the plastic vagina.
Yeah.
And then they shoved a plastic penis inside the plastic vagina.
Awesome.
And I was like, why on earth would anyone do that? It was terrifying. I was like, you have to do that to have kids. I'm never having children.
It's funny. My equivalent to that was when I was in sixth grade and the teacher was telling us about how the pullout method doesn't work. And I remember saying, yeah, besides, how would you even know when it's happening? And again, to look back at it as a person who's now had sex a lot, by the way.
I'm sure. I mean, we know it was twice.
Right, at least.
At least.
So he looked, just a look of like kind of embarrassed look, and he, because he couldn't help himself, he goes, "Oh, trust me, you'll know."
That's exactly. I looked at my mom and I said, "I understand that it might feel good for the girl." Because I kind of got that, like, even
at a
young age.
That's interesting. Wow.
And I said, but I don't understand why it would feel good for the boy.
Never before has a more naive statement been said.
Right? But if you think about the biology of it, if you don't understand yet how, like, penises are stimulated, that's a very strange concept. Like, you shove it in this thing and it feels good?
Right. Well, it's to me, and I don't think it's just because I'm a guy, I just think it's funny that you could, as a young girl, could rationalize the idea like, yeah, I get why that would feel good. But that the other side, because history, in my opinion, has shown that civilizations have been built because of the things a vagina can do to a man. You know,
like, this is true.
Marriages have been destroyed and saved with the power of a vagina. Men have created and lost fortunes because of vaginas. So just the idea, like, I don't see what's in it for them.
I was like, why? I don't understand.
That's outrageous. But to get back to my question is that, do you know, is it damaging for kids if they see that?
You know, I think that it can be if it's not discussed between the family.
Right, if it's awkward. Like if they...
Well, because also then you make it a taboo thing, when in all reality, the best thing that parents can do for their kids is display a loving relationship, because that's the framework for every relationship that your child's going to have for the rest of their life. So if they don't see affection, that can be almost worse than walking in on you having sex.
Right.
If that makes sense.
My like, we don't make out in front of my kids, but occasionally my wife and I will have a moment where it'll be like a slightly longer kiss than a peck because, you know, like, we're just having our own little moment in the kitchen. And it's funny to me because our boys have this reaction of like, oh, that's gross. But there's like a joy that's behind it, if that makes sense. You know, like they like that mom and dad love each other. It makes them happy.
Exactly. Because every kid wants their parent. There's so much divorce in our culture now that kids know what divorce is from a really young age. And so it's nice when they feel like their parents are in love and that, you know, their family's together.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, that ties into what, when you and I first did our first two or three episodes, I think, I can't remember what number we're on now, but you brought out this concept of love languages and we discussed them and everything like that. Well, in response, I've gotten multiple emails from people. I've forwarded, I think, all of them on to you. Excuse me.
Jeez. But
I know, I'm smoking. And
right now.
Exactly. Always. Never stop. I have the hole in my throat and I just, it's always there.
That's horrible.
I've gotten emails where from, I like it because the moms that listen to the show that have listened to those love languages episodes have written in and said, oh, this is great. Now I have a way of understanding why my husband does what he does. And then the dads Amazing. That write in are always like, you got me laid tonight. And I appreciate that. And I just love that the dynamic. I really do. I honestly, I think it's funny and I love it. It makes me happy. It's one of the things, there's a moment in my act, my stand-up act that I do now where I talk about how my wife's body changed after having kids and how she got self-conscious. And I try to explain to women that they should not be worried about it, that in all actuality, men don't really care. It's more them. And I talk about it. I say, you know, so ladies, go home and slap your men in the face with your titties and watch what happens. And I have this moment that's just this nice, joyful laugh that I get from the crowd that really makes me feel whole as a person. That's as close, like, that just makes me go, yeah, I did it tonight. Was that I say, I go, because right now, look at your man. If he's sitting next to you, he's not scared. He's got a big old smile on his face, doesn't he? And I said, and some of you are getting that rub on the back in the dark, like, that's a go for launch, just so you know. And I get a bigger laugh from that, from the people that are getting like a pat or a rub. And I see people kiss each other when I talk about that stuff. And it just makes me so fucking
giddy. No, it is true. Women are way more self-conscious, and myself included. I'm not going to, you know, exclude myself from that. Women are way more self-conscious about their bodies than men are. And, you know, the best way to explain it is if you're getting plowed from behind, are you thinking about what your man's stomach looks like behind you? No.
Okay.
And it's the same thing back and forth. Like, you know, it's something that all women go through, but that, you know, you're absolutely right. But hearing it from a man is always better than, you know, hearing it from.
Well, my wife, actually, it was interesting. And my wife and I have a very open, honest relationship to other relationships. They would consider it to be a flaw in some areas. But she actually described one time that she thought her butt was too jiggly or whatever. And I was like, no, that's amazing. You don't understand that. Like, cause she thought it was too big or too, like she mm-hmm. thought everything needed to be tight. And I'm like, negative on that, Ghost Rider, at least not for this cowboy, ma'am. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so my boyfriend is in culinary school and,
I love where this is going.
Yeah. Needless to say, he loves to cook. And so he cooks all the time and he makes this, you know, homemade lasagna with like ricotta and mozzarella cheese and extra Parmesan. And it's delicious, but that, you know, it adds up on your ass. Like it just does. And so I remember I looked at him one day and I was like, you know, if I keep eating this stuff, like there's no way I'm going to get any thinner. And he looked at me and said, well, why do you think I keep making it?
He wants some love handles, baby.
And it was at that point where I was like, oh, okay.
All right, we're good.
All right.
We're good.
Sweet, I'll keep eating lasagna.
Double win.
But it's true. Like, once you get validation from your man that that's what he likes, like, there's a difference. You know, if you are getting heavier than you'd like, you need to feel good, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. But on the same token, if you do feel good, but you're just self-conscious about what your man is thinking, like, talk to him about it.
Well, I think as a guy, like even again with my open relationship that I have with my wife, I've realized even though we're almost 20 years in that there have still been things that I unknowingly have kind of considered taboo or like you don't want to say it to your wife
like
because
what?
Like you feel like it's creepy or what, like the fact that I like watching her ass jiggle, like.
Yeah, but that's awesome to hear.
Right, but I like to for a guy, it seems like pervy. You know what I mean? Like you're. That's what we're labeled as. We're labeled as like, oh, yeah, what? Oh, stick that in your mouth. Oh, God, yeah, I'm going to pour whipped cream all over it. Oh, my God, where's your sister? You know,
yeah,
that's.
But you know what? You know what? Women are in charge like 99% of the day. So it's nice to submiss a little
right.
bit.
I agree wholeheartedly. But again, we're not talking about Brad Pitt guy. You know, like that's what.
No, this is not Brad Pitt. This is just Joe Schmo.
Right. And Joe Schmo usually did a lot of, again, just like women, I think, are insecure about their bodies. Men are insecure about, is this the right phrasing? I want to say sexuality. Not in an orientation way, mm-hmm. but in the fact that I feel like men don't really understand how to really do it, but we want to. And maybe
so
I'm just talking about myself, but
why don't we role play it then, Justin?
Oh boy, are we about to have sex over Skype? Because I am not comfortable with that. I mean, and I don't,
no.
I mean, listen, you're very beautiful, even though you put on a few pounds. I don't want, listen, I didn't even notice because I can't even see you right now. But my point is, but just be gentle with me. Please
I'm
be gentle.
I'm serious. Okay. Here, you, okay. So I'm going to be your wife.
Okay.
Okay. And you're going to be you. Okay. And you're going to practice telling me that you like when my ass jiggles.
I'm already giggling like I'm 12. This is my point.
Okay. This is for all the men out there that have something like that that they want to tell their wives or girlfriends or boyfriends or whatever.
Right. So I'm doing it for the fellas.
You're doing it for the fellas. Take one for the team, my friend.
All right. I could tell you verbatim what I said. Maybe I'm not doing the scene work properly.
Okay,
in this acting
exercise.
Okay,
you go for it, and then I'll let you know how my reaction would have been.
I said, I said, listen, babe, I got to be honest with you. She goes, I feel like it's weird. Or I guess I'm only doing my part. I'm very good at this, by the way. This is why my acting career just skyrocketed. If only there were more sides about me talking about having sex with my wife.
And ass jiggling.
Yes, exactly. It would, I would just rule. I would have an Oscar already. She go, well, I feel, I'm saying her line. Well, I'll do this. I'll say the conversation that we had, and then you can give me score points afterwards.
Deal. Okay, deal.
So she said, she goes, well, I just feel like it's weird. Like, my ass is jiggling. I go, and I told her, I said, babe, that's hot. I love your ass. I like that everything moves. It makes you look like a woman. I don't want a little girl. I want a woman. And she also talked about how, because her boobs have changed, like she felt self-conscious. It didn't like if I touch them, we do playful things. Like she'll grab me in the crotch or whatever to pinch me when I'm teasing her. And I'll reach out and pinch her in the butt or pat her on the love pat, or maybe I'll get a little honk of the boobage or whatever.
Honkas are always good.
Right. Yeah. And so, but there was a day where she was like, it got kind of self-conscious, and I kept trying to reiterate to her. I was like, no, it's, you don't understand that I love you. That there is, like, I find reasons to sneak into the shower, the bathroom, so that I could see her in the shower. And so you guys
are so cute.
I tell her those kinds of things. So that's,
see, but that's good. And how was her reaction after you said that?
She reacts like, she goes, well, that's very sweet of you. But I think that in the same way that she says, no, you're very funny and talented. And I go, well, you're supposed to think that you're my wife. I think that she thinks that I just say that stuff.
Why do you think that is?
Because I could see it. I could see that it doesn't. Like, I feel like if I just said, no, listen, I think your boobs are hot. I think that the way your ass jiggles when you walk, when we're having adult magic time, I think it's amazing, that she kind of goes, oh, that's sweet. You know, but it's not like, well, great. Oh, well, then, oh, okay, perfect.
So,
and then, like,
question,
takes her shirt off.
Do you show her that you like that stuff? For example, while her ass is jiggling.
Yeah.
Do you say, oh, I love this? I love when your ass jiggles.
No, I do not. I do not say that.
So there's like this difference between saying what you like and then doing what you like, you know, which you know.
Well, here's my biggest fear. My biggest fear is that I am the only guy who feels this way. I'm doing this on a podcast under the guise that there are other men out there who are going, oh my gosh, he's inside my brain right now. But that in reality, they're going, what the fuck are you talking about? But I'll just keep going. Is that I think when I say that kind of stuff in the moment, again, like what I was saying, is that it seems like you're slimy. You know what I mean? Like it seems, then it
but
seems
why do you
disingenuous.
Think
that? I don't know. I wouldn't qualify myself or classify myself as somebody who has like sexual hangups or anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, which is why that surprises me.
I just feel, I guess what it really boils down to is that I am a lot of a girl inside.
You know that.
Thank you. And but that maybe it's that I'm afraid that it will seem, how to say this? It'll seem not like I don't care. Like there isn't any love behind what it, that it makes it almost entirely physical, if that makes sense.
Ew. You just opened up Pandora's box,
oh,
my friend.
Oh, crap. This isn't supposed to be about me.
I know.
All right.
But now we're on this.
Oh, here we go. Can we talk more about your boyfriend semen, please? Can we go back to that? Is that deflecting? What's the word for that?
No, you cannot deflect a master deflector.
Let's play some emotional ping pong.
Right?
All right, go ahead.
So the question is then, and I pose this without opinion or without judgment, is sex always about love or is it always just physical or can it alternate?
No, it can alternate for me. I think that, but I'm not inside my wife's head. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it is that, what mood she's in. You see what I'm saying?
So what would happen, do you think, if you tried saying something like that? And let's say she wasn't in the mood. Let's say she's in this like lovey-dovey, like, oh, gentle. But I feel like if her ass was jiggling, then you kind of know what mood she's in.
Right, exactly.
So then what are you afraid of?
No, well, I think it's because here's the thing. I'll be 100% honest with you. I've talked about this with other comedians, actually, in a green room where they made fun of me because she had a joke that was kind of similar to my joke. But so when she followed me, she tagged onto it and said, you know, when you're twisting legs around or whatever. And I was like, I go, how do you, like, what are you doing she goes, well, you know, you move your legs around. I go, no. And my wife and I are not religious at all or anything like that. But I think, in my opinion, that because we were together from high school, that we have what is considered to be good Christian sex, and that it doesn't get very wild or crazy, but that we are both very happy with that. It's not like we're sitting there going, pining for some kind of, I want you to put on a wig and I need you to shit on my face, please.
Okay, that's just way over the line, Justin.
What? So I can enjoy her ass jiggling, but I can't have her shit on my face?
Well, you know, whatever
you said, there was no judgment.
Whatever suits you, Justin.
But that's my
judgment. You know that I took an entire class on fetishes?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't even know where to go with that.
That's a whole nother episode.
Right?
I mean, seriously. Like, and it's, yeah.
Well, anyway, let's get back so we can button on this, because otherwise I'm going to have you here all night and we still have actual questions to get to.
Oh, that's
to
true. We do need to get to those.
So, I guess what you're saying is that what you were asking what my hang up is? Is that a fair way of...
What are you afraid of saying, like, oh, baby, I love it when...
I do say that kind of stuff, but I guess what I'm being overly honest in those kinds of moments. Maybe it's because I'm enjoying them so much that I'm not thinking about affirming her.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? That's why I think, in my opinion, that's why we have conversations not in those passion-filled moments.
Which totally makes sense, but it is okay to express what you're feeling. And if she doesn't like it, she'll tell you. Your wife is vocal enough to where if you say something and she's disgusted by it, and that goes for anybody.
Right, but here's the thing. I agree with what you're saying wholeheartedly, but it's a weird thing, I'm sure, but I think that everybody goes through this. I completely trust her and I completely love her and I feel comfortable that she has seen me in my worst moments. And yet there is that moment where it's like, you don't want to have to backpedal from that moment. You know what I mean? Like you want to kind of skate the line and be safe with it, but you don't want to cross the line. And what you don't want to have happen is stick your finger in my ass. What did you say? You know what I mean? Like, and then, cause you can't take that back now. Now
that's
forever,
true.
You're going to live for the rest of your life with the time that you said, stick your finger in my ass.
That is true. And for some couples, that could have been the best moment that happened in their sex life.
Right.
And so that's what I'm saying, is that sometimes being that frank and that honest can.
So if this were a fetish romantic comedy, then you being the buddy role would be saying, listen, I know that it's scary because you're afraid your heart is going to break. But if you don't open yourself up to getting a finger in the asshole, you're never going to know if it's any fun or not. You're never going to feel true love again. Right?
That is exactly what I would say in that role. Yes.
Exactly. So, well, just again, so I can sleep tonight, mostly with my wife. I didn't just say, when you said you just opened a whole box, that doesn't mean that I have some kind of sexual weirdness in me that I was unaware of, right? I'm just a normal person. I'm a normal dude.
I think that people in general, we all have this idea of what is socially acceptable, but that sexuality is on a very fluid scale. And that sometimes having an open conversation about those types of things can just open up doors that you didn't know were open.
Interesting. So what I need to take from this is that if I'm in a heat of passion, do I need to be more specific? Because I've actually said to my wife, like, I say it all the time because she's fucking hot as hell.
You know what that means is like, oh, cool, I look good right now.
What do you mean?
Like, that's broad enough to where anybody could be hot as hell.
Really?
Yeah.
But she's the only one I'm ever having sex with.
So well, this is true. But okay, we'll put it this. So you know I have red hair.
Yes.
So if somebody said, let's say my boyfriend says, oh man, I love grabbing hair.
Ah.
That's very general. Like he could do that with anybody.
But
like,
if he says,
oh,
red hair.
You're so hot right now. But, oh, man, damn, I love your red hair.
Yes, I see.
That's specific.
That makes sense.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense.
So it's not just like, oh, yeah, you're so hot, I'd fuck any hot girl.
Right.
It's like, no, what about your wife is hot? What's going to be like, oh, my God, he noticed that?
And just so I'm clear, I'm not supposed to fuck any hot girl.
No, your wife is the hot girl that you fuck.
Oh, okay, got it. Let me write that down real quick.
See, now she'll like me even more. Yeah.
But you're, no, I'm totally, I'm getting this, the more and more we dig into it, is that the reality of it, too, is the reason why I need to be able to say something along those lines is because my wife grew up as a dancer. And so when you add on to the fact that she's a female and she grew up to be a dancer and it wasn't hip hop, it was ballet, and she's got some junk in her trunk, which to me is fucking awesome.
Okay,
but
you,
when you're a ballet
a
dancer,
different story.
You're supposed to be rail thin and
yes.
You know what I mean? And like skin and bones and
rail.
All that stuff. And that is not attractive to me. I like a woman that could plow a field. That's what I want to see.
That's you and my boyfriend will get along very well.
I want her to eat some lasagna and get out there and milk some goddamn cows. And
well, when you're here, you can come over and Kyle will make you lasagna.
I hope he doesn't try to plump me up for the kill. Because when he sticks his finger in my ass, it is going to be awkward for the two of us.
Right? It'll be even more awkward for me. Don't worry.
You're probably right. But it's not about you at that moment. I really appreciate it, but I would prefer if you not get in the way of our relationship. If that would be at all possible, please, Rachel. All right, let's get to some emails before
right,
I waste your
good.
Entire evening. The first one, I think, is kind of a light and quick one, but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
This comes to us, and it says, I'm always going to call everybody John and Jane, because those are the, you know, the John and Jane Doe. I had that idea today, because then everybody's anonymous and we can still use kind of names. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that's perfect.
Although this person suggests in their email that they go by Fernando. So
what?
I'll just say that so that they know that I'm reading their email, like they wouldn't recognize it. But
hello, Fernando.
But mostly I think it's funny. I finally decided to move on after ending a 6-year relationship. I've been talking to a woman, but she is moving a lot faster than I am. She is so clingy and wanting to spend time at my house constantly. I have no problem with her spending the night, but I really enjoy the freedom of being single. How do I let her know to slow down without pissing her off? Because I really do like her, but I'm not where she is.
So that's, Fernando, that's like such a common question. I'm really thankful that he or you, if I'm talking to you, Fernando, wrote in, because that's a really common thing that people experience when dating, is that one person feels something much quicker than the other one, which is totally normal, and you don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
So is his question, how does he tell her?
Yes.
To kind of slow down?
Yeah, he wants it. My vibe is that he's saying, listen, I don't want to do anything to screw this up. But if I could make it ideal for me, I would like you to understand that it's not that I don't like having you around, but again, I was locked in with somebody. So if you could also just be respectful of that and give me some one-on-one time with just me, does that make sense?
You just said it, Justin.
Oh, I did it?
That was beautiful.
I'm so much better at this than sex. Oh my
God. No, that seriously. No, that was really beautiful. I think that there's so much just basic communication things that we lose as adults because we overthink everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so just saying like, hey, I really like you. I love spending time with you. And I'm loving what's going on here. I've been single for, you know, X amount of time. And I'm adjusting to getting back into like this. I have another person to do things with. And so if I need time by myself, I don't want you to feel like I'm not wanting to be with you. I'm just adjusting to being with somebody again. And I'm so thrilled and I'm so happy. But if I need to take time for myself, I wanted to, you know, make sure that you knew that.
And I feel like just the fact that he's worried about screwing this up shows how invested he is.
And the fact that he would come to her with that without her being like, I feel like you're not hanging out with me, you know, that's huge. Like, he's taking the initiative even by writing in, first of all. So kudos, Fernando. And secondly, like, she'll appreciate that, you know, and if she doesn't, that's, you know, that will be telling as well.
Yeah. And I think that this is to bring this full circle, literally. I think that all he's really worried about is another finger in the asshole moment. Like, he's going to say,
yes,
listen, I need
exactly.
my space. And then it's going to be something he can't ever take back.
Yes.
And then he'll never get a finger in his asshole. So
Which
if you don't.
you know what? At the end of the day, everybody can have a finger in asshole moment.
Oh.
And you can get past those.
You're speaking my language now.
You know, like, I don't, there, if you're with the right person.
Right.
I don't think that there's anything that could come out of your mouth.
Yes.
Aside from a very select few words.
That's, yeah, like you just said, I think that's an unbelievably common thing in all relationships where, especially, I feel like for whatever reason, it erodes a little when you become married, or maybe it just becomes about finger in the asshole type stuff. But that,
maybe, I don't know.
You tread so lightly when in actuality, what you should do is be just taking baby steps bigger and bigger to giving just a full dose of you.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't, I mean, I don't think it's fair on a first date or whatever in the first month to just slap him in the face with everything you got going on.
No. But that's also because, no human being, even as a friend, if you were to meet a new friend, you don't go out to dinner with them for the first time and, you know, tell them all about how your parents got divorced and you're sad and you know, your whole life is ruined because of this moment when you were five and blah, blah, blah. Like, you don't do that.
But at the same time, I don't know, tell me if you would agree, but maybe I am a person who that, like, having all of that baggage is a big part of what defines me. Like, that's
exactly,
it's constantly what's in me. So if I do hit everybody with that, the person who can handle it is going to be like, oh my gosh, I've been there, sister. And you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or they're going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Or they're just good listeners. But
and
if
that's why I said that, if you feel earlier that if you feel like saying, oh my God, your ass is so hot right now while it's jiggling.
Yeah.
If you're with the right person, which you are.
Well,
I have a feeling she'd be like, oh, thank you, babe.
You are absolutely right. But there's a little bit of a slighter thing at stake when you have two children with her. You know what I mean? Not that me saying your ass jiggling is going to be divorce material.
That's what I was going to say.
Right.
So you're catastrophizing a little bit.
I am. But again, I am not hyper aware. You have to understand. I'm sure you've taken many a course too on what a man's brain is like when he's having sex. And it is for me, at least, it is a constant struggle of enjoying it, but then not enjoying it too much. Don't enjoy too much because you got to be able to hang in there and maintain. And so there's like it can become a very concentrated thing. So for me to have this like expanded awareness of almost a level of omnipresence, if you would, is a little crazy for me to go. You know what I mean? Like,
so
I'm functioning off my monkey brain.
Do you know how long she wants you to last?
No, I don't. I don't think she even cares, to be honest.
Okay, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because you just said that that's all you think about.
Not all.
Well, the majority of what comes across your brain.
I should use my words better. As a professional speaker, I should be able to say, yeah, the majority of the time it's because I want it to also be a pleasurable experience. But I think that's a common thing, too. Just like, I mean, and it translates to all levels of relationships. It's just like Fernando's
Absolutely.
Talking about with just him being able to express, I really just want to have some me time or whatever, that it is like it's a struggle of a thing that, you know, I know that my wife and I have a great sex life because we've discussed it. I know that she is happy with it. She knows that I am happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that necessarily that there's never any room for improvement or that you can't grow or become closer. You know what I mean? So I'm not trying to shut everything that we're talking about down here. But I feel – what was I going to say? I was on a good train of thought and then it got fucking
You just
derailed.
Lost it.
I totally lost it. I guess what I'm saying is that part of what brings me pleasure is also being able to please her. You know
what
I mean?
Well, of course. And if it wasn't, then I'd be more worried.
Right. So that's why I feel like the reality of it is that I'm sure I could easily be a two-pump chump with my wife. I mean, I am that attracted to her. I am that much in love with her. And so at a certain point, that was what started kind of the relationship with you. I can't remember if that was, I think that might have been our first episode where I said to you that I talked to my wife and said, let's go home and have sex every day for
a
month.
Yes. Yeah.
Said, how did that go?
And I was like, no.
Because at the time in my brain, I was saying that if it wasn't happening once every 2 weeks because we're, you know, people with children, that it wouldn't be so like, oh my gosh, this is happening for me. And it would be a little more routine and I would be able to not have to think so much,
I
guess.
So how was that for you?
well, what do you mean? Oh, it didn't happen. Like, that was the whole thing. She goes, I couldn't even imagine. I don't know if you remember that part.
Remember, that's what I said.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, that there's no way, no how. And so our sex life is the same as that it's always been with children, in that we have little spurts of time in between. Like, if they get sick and then you get tired and you're not sleeping, and then she's exhausted, I'm exhausted, which I think is actually a very organic shift into our next email. I feel like we nailed Fernando, right? We gave
him
everything.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I'll say to Fernando to close it, and to you too, and just in general,
yeah,
is that nothing bad ever came from being honest.
It's true.
And if something bad comes from being honest, then that's something to discuss.
That's a very solid point for me, especially in my relationship, is that both my wife and I truly believe that the happiness that we have in our marriage is from our pulling no punches, blatant mm-hmm. honesty, and that I think it's worth talking to her. I would personally, I would like to talk to her offline. That's what I'm going to call when we're not having sex. Oh, damn it. I'm funny to me. But I would like to talk to her offline about it before, you know, bringing it online.
No, absolutely.
And just kind of saying, hey, I think that this is something that I don't think is you, but I think it's me, that for whatever reason, I'm afraid of some of these things that I want to tell you because I you know, that kind of stuff. But and it shouldn't be the case.
And a bunch of that, Justin, is because society tells us that guys right. are all pigs and, you yes. know, they dominate women in porn and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And, you know, it's such a societal pressure on men to be these gentlemen, which, of course, everybody wants a gentleman, but there can be different. That's why there's role play in the bedroom.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody's like, hey, let's role play while we cook dinner.
Right.
Like, you role play in the bedroom because you can change things. And as long as that communication is there, then that's what's important.
Honey, I'm going to do an accent when I brush my teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk Southern all night while you do the dishes.
Oh, my God. That's making me so hot right now. I can't wait to have sex with the real you later. But anyway, my discussion of having, like, the kids and everything, this is actually what I came up with, a concept that was intended to be for just the main show called Marital Court. And my idea was is that you would bring an issue that you're having within your marriage to the podcast. And then, much like the People's Court or even Divorce Court, I would rule on it. But both parties would agree that whatever decision I made would be the one that you would carry into your relationship.
I like
and
this.
That Marital Court would keep you out of Divorce Court was my intent.
This is good.
Right. So, but then this first issue that I got, I was like, well, I think this is also something that I would like a Miss Rachel Gibbs to weigh in on, because you are an expert and also a lady. And I don't have a ton of ladies on the show that I have, you know, access to. So this is why I wanted to bring it up with you. And here is the email. It says, Justin, I was listening to episode 68 and the Marital Court. My husband and I always bicker over the sex quota for the week. Maybe you've covered this in a previous episode. I'm working my way back. I really like to listen to your views as a husband. It helps me understand mine more. We always have the lack of sex discussion. We both work full time, work opposite shifts to allow us to have a parent at home with our kids. We have 3 kids, 6, 4, and 3. So my view, I could care less, and his view is any and all offers are welcome. I love him dearly and long for the days of the past where we had the freedom of free sex. I just don't have any ambition to do it. I feel like a horrible wife and would love to be able to understand the male perspective for a decrease in the sex arena. Let me say that sentence again. I feel like a horrible wife and would love to be able to understand the male perspective for a decrease in the sex arena. Mm-hmm. Love the podcast and your guests. Thanks. So, yes.
First of all, Jane is not a bad wife.
No.
At all. And I think that you'd agree with me on that.
I would absolutely agree. I've been in this exact situation, but for me, because of the way I'm wired and I'm not more stereotypical guy, mine wasn't necessarily about sex, although that was definitely an element. I felt, when we had our second son, disconnected from my wife.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what's really going on here, is that because they're kind of ships passing in the night every day, that you just feel like you're 2 full-time nannies that happen to work at the same job raising kids for someone
else.
Yeah,
exactly. And so I guess what I would probably say to that is, number one, make the time, schedule the time to sit down and talk about this.
Yeah.
And not to make it like this, you know, huge ordeal, but at the same time, this is a big deal. And obviously if she's writing in, Jane, if you're writing in to a podcast, this is on your mind and this is something that you want others' opinions on. Mm-hmm. And that being said, I think that sitting down and having an honest conversation about what expectations does he have and what expectations do you have?
Yeah.
And where can we meet in the middle? Because obviously you don't like what's happening right now.
And here's what I could tell you also from my end of the experience of this is that the idea does not enter your head to sit down and talk because, I mean, looking at the age difference between these kids, I mean, we're talking 6 and 4. Mm-hmm. So that's 18 months to 2 years and then 4 and 3. So literally for at least the past 4 years, this woman has been probably breastfeeding, feeding, feeding, changing diapers. They've been pissed on, shit on, vomited on, gotten 2 hours of sleep at chunks whenever they want. And so what your body kind of starts to suck inward and say, okay, we got to take care of basic necessities like fucking eating, drinking, and sleeping.
And that's totally true. But just like anything else, if you stop having sex, you don't want to have sex.
Right.
Having sex breeds having more sex.
And I think this also plays into what you are, what I think, for the sake of giving a male perspective too, one of the things that you said when we first started talking was that men need to have sex in order to feel loved. Women need to feel loved in order to have sex.
Yeah.
So I think for the sake of trying to talk for her husband, that really what he's saying is that I want to have sex with you more is what he's really talking about. Is not necessarily the sex part, is that he's feeling like he's not connected with his wife anymore.
Yeah, he's feeling neglected.
Yes. And what our male brains tell us is, I need to get my fuck on, and that's the way we say it with our words. But in actuality, it's not just that. It's that, it's like what you said. He needs to, in order to feel like you love him, he needs to be able to have sex with you.
Yep.
And that's the only reason. He's not coming at it going, hey, let's rattle some pots and pans. Let's kick off them shoes. Put the kids to sleep. And then bounce on my dick, bitch.
The problem is when you look at it the other way around, with women need to feel love to have sex.
Right.
If she doesn't feel like she's getting that support and love from him, then she's not going to want to do anything.
Because tell me if I'm wrong, she's probably needing to have that sit down conversation a little
exactly.
bit of intimacy to kind of help, you know, lube those wheels, if you will.
Yeah. And honestly, from the way that her email is phrased and just writing in to begin with, it seems like to me that she's feeling guilty.
Yeah.
And so when you feel guilty, you're not going to exactly want to, you know,
that's not sexy.
No.
Yeah.
And she's looking for that validation of, you don't need to feel guilty. You didn't do anything wrong. Let's talk about how to make this better. And I love you.
And I sent her an email because she sent this probably like a month ago. I sent her an email interim just saying, you know, listen, I want to talk about this with Rachel on the show. And I go, but here's what I could tell you from my experience. And I essentially said that if any, because my wife, her thing was the exhaustion. And also that her body had changed and she didn't feel sexy at all. And I wasn't really aware of it because on my end of the spectrum, on my end of the fence, I was like, well, yeah, you had kids. You're a mom. And that's why we got married. That's the whole idea. And I have a joke in my act that I make fun about. It's like, well, look at the person you're sitting next to, because today is as good as it's going to get. The next day is going to get a little worse. The day after that's going to get a little worse. You're going to get a little fatter, a little hairier, a little uglier. Might as well kiss and hug and hump each other now and then. Have a good time until you die.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to make fun, but it is, to me, it is the reality of the circumstance, and that I think it should be looked at as such, is that it is insane for you to have the expectation of yourself or your loved one that they're going to look like they did when they were 22 years old.
Absolutely. And I don't think – I've never met anybody, client or personal friend, who has expected anybody to look the same as when they did as when they met.
Right.
But that's something that we all think about when we all are –
Right.
Especially women.
Right.
And I say that as a woman.
Yes. Of course you do. I just realized I had developed a pattern of saying right. And so I wanted to take it an extra.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Right. I validate you, the doctor.
I would,
the jackass,
to God,
validate you, the expert.
Jane needs to know.
Right.
Jane needs to know that she does not need to feel guilty.
And I think you're right that if they can find this time, and she needs to know that it has nothing to do with her and her feelings. It has to do with they're both in like a survival mode. And this is where, and it pisses people off. I know, because I've been there. You need a date night. You need a night where you can get out, you know, find your day off, take the kids to grandma and grandpa's or something, just so you can have a dinner and get back to what it was like before you became a baby factory. Because you guys have done it the hard way. There are people out there listening that have had their kids at 12 and 5, and they might be able to relate a smidgen. But I know there are people out there that have twins or kids that, what do they call them, Irish twins, when the kid's like a year apart or something. And they're like, oh, my God, sister, I'm with you. Like, I am right there, because I forgot. The whole point, the whole reason why my kids are barely 3 years apart is because I only wanted one child and my wife wanted two. And so I said, well, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it quick, because it's going to be really hard at the beginning, but it's going to get really easy later on. And they're both going to be out of the house, because me being who I am, I love my children, but I love my wife more. And I know that may sound weird to some people, but it's like a 99 and a 97.8. You understand? Like, it's not like,
guys,
stop fucking looking at me while I'm trying to talk to your mother. It's not that at all. Like, I don't put cigarettes out on them, but it is a thing where my happy place, it's like what I started this show with, is that's why I got to get off the road. My happy place is sitting on the couch with my wife's head on my shoulder watching Survivor. That, to me, is the moment that, and we laugh, and she says horribly offensive things about people that are starving to death for $1 million, and I judge her for it, and I say, why do you? And that's what makes me happy. And that, I think that it also, because my love for her is also what makes us good parents, and I think, like what you talked about earlier, that kids like to see parents in love with each other. Mm-hmm. I hope that my sons will be able to look at what their mother and I have and be able to have something close to it. If they can hit it, then great. Then I know they're going to have a fantastic life, because they're going to have somebody in their corner and a great partner, and they're going to talk about ass-jiggling hotness and fingers in the asshole, and they're going to live life even better than me, which is the goal.
Exactly. Gosh, who knows what the next generation of kids are going to talk about?
I don't even want to think about it. There are people with teenagers now.
I mean, if we're talking about fingers in the ass, what's going
to
happen?
Right, exactly. But again, to get back to my point, is that I forgot it in the middle of it. And I had what I call my Thelma and Louise moment, where I was sitting on the stairs and I couldn't get Jack, my little guy, to go back to sleep. And I was like, this isn't the life I wanted. I didn't sign up for this. I think everybody, I'm unhappy. Everybody here is going to be better off if I go, if I leave. And I had like a nanosecond moment where I was going to get in the car and I was just going to drive away and never come back. And that nanosecond, I truly believe, was only because I was in survival mode, that I was not thinking about emotional needs of anybody. I was just fucking exhausted and probably hungry too, because you don't know when you've eaten, because you're so busy feeding everybody else. And I did it with two. I can't imagine. This chick's got three kids that are all slammed close to each other. That's a long time. And for you guys to be working two full-time jobs opposite each other.
Well, yeah. And you're either like pregnant or breastfeeding every day.
Right. Or working and feeding, like you have an 8-hour day and then you come home and then you have like a 4-hour, whoever has the night shift, fuck them. Those poor people. I mean, good God, whichever one of those two people, I don't know which of you has it, but if it's you, God bless you, sister. If it's him, that poor son of a bitch. I mean, I really applaud you guys for what you're doing. I think I support everything that you're going for, but it is hard. And I don't know if you've experienced this in your couples counseling, but don't you feel – I've heard this from a lady actually at the preschool that my kids go to. She said that she went through this, but when her kids turned about 5-6, like the youngest kid turned about 5-6, that their sex life went right back to the way it was before kids.
Yeah, no, that's really common.
Okay.
But that's also a lot to do with the fact that women have this kind of identity crisis when they have their first child, because – it's you're this mother all of a sudden. And so you're not just this sexy wife person. Mm. You're also this mother, and it's this conflict of what am I? Am I sexy? Am I breastfeeding? Like, I'm still kind of fat from being pregnant. Like, my stomach's still jiggly. Like, there's this weird transitional time where you don't know what you are.
Yeah.
And around, hopefully earlier, but generally around 4, this kind of like, oh, they can tell me when they're hungry, yeah, and they can, you know, pee by themselves. And now I can kind of focus on being this sexy wife in addition to being a mom.
Yeah. I feel like a jackass because I've said it, but I'm saying yes in the sense that I remember watching my wife go through that. I remember mm-hmm. her, and she wore it like a badge of honor, and kudos to her. But, you know, where she's just like, this is what I am. I'm a milk factory right now. And that's all that I am. But we had, with my first kid, when he was like, when Jacob was like an infant, we had crazy amounts of sex. And I remember both of us thinking, like, I thought we were supposed to have like no sex after the kid. But the thing was, is because it was one kid and I didn't work a regular full-time job. So she was home on maternity leave. And so we were both there. It was like, yeah, tribal times, you know what I mean? Where
that's awesome.
Right. And that she would, like, she could go take a nap and, you know what I mean? So, but then when the second kid came along, it wasn't just a second kid. It was that her job changed and she couldn't stay at home and work from home. And I, you know, when I was gone on the road, she was by herself doing like a single mom type situation. Mm-hmm. And it changed the dynamic in more ways than one. And I really think that that's what they're going through.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
So the prognosis would be, sit down, have a conversation. If you're Jane, you say, you know, listen, I want to do it more, but it's because I'm tired or exhausted or...
Well, if I were Jane, I would sit him down and first of all, let him know before giving what sounds like a list of excuses.
Ah.
I would say, I can only imagine what's going through your mind about why I haven't wanted to be with you.
Mm.
Because honestly, he's probably thinking, does she not want to have sex? Is her sex life turned off? Is she having an affair? Like, why doesn't she want to be with me?
Mm. It's interesting that you say have an affair. That's because it does happen, and I've heard of it happening. But I remember I would joke with my wife about having an affair, and she would be like, if I had a boyfriend, I would make him watch the kids so I could fucking sleep. But
it's true.
But that so she says that because then she's saying, you know,
well, she's validating his feelings first,
and she's opening it up for him to even answer that question.
Yeah,
right? Like she's letting
like
him.
How does he feel? What does he think is going on? Because he could respond with, "Oh no, babe, I know it's just because, you know, we're both exhausted, and honestly, I wasn't even upset about it. I hadn't even thought about it."
Right, and the reason you wouldn't like, just say, why is it you think I don't want to have sex is because that sounds kind of accusatory. Like, what do you think is going on? So I could tell you what's really going on. Like, but in actuality, what you're saying, it creates a tone of empathy that, like, exactly, I want to empathize with you and understand exactly why you're feeling. And these are my assumptions.
And understanding the fact that he does feel, you know, he probably does feel a little neglected, and giving him that opportunity to express exactly how he is feeling and giving him permission that is okay. So he doesn't feel like a jackass when he's like, I know you're nursing and pregnant all the time, but why aren't you fucking me? Because at the end of the day, that's valid, but it can come across very insensitive.
Exactly. Yes. And I would also suggest that you guys do the love languages quiz if you haven't done that. Because
absolutely,
if I could only tell you what it's done for me and my marriage, and then that on top of that, what the emails that I have received, like I said, from listeners, moms, dads alike, it really has impacted them, which I think I'm going to wrap up with this, unless you had something else you needed to say to Jane and her sex
quota.
No,
I want to hear what happens.
So, oh yeah, please, if you don't mind, Jane, send us an update email, or if you have any further questions or whatever, please throw those in, and we'll bring it up on the next episode I do with Rachel, and I promise I will do them closer than 6 months apart.
I promise too.
But I wanted to read you this because I think this is a great example and in an expanded form of the emails, and I wanted it to be a sign of appreciation from our listenership to you, Ms. Gibbs. So it says, I just wanted to send a big thank you to you and Rachel for the love languages info. Since you made, we'll say, John and I take the test, we both have had such a better understanding of each other's needs. And honestly, it helped me understand my own needs. I hadn't realized why it upset me so much when John didn't take the initiative to do things around the house and why it frustrated me so much to have him to tell him. I also understood now why I'm so disappointed with birthdays and Christmas, because I get now that I feel like the person giving me this gift didn't put any personal thought into it. And because I do that for others, I get really sad when I don't get it in return. I also wanted to share a personal epiphany that I had in regards to all of this. I've always struggled with a strong sense of guilt because John and I didn't have sex a lot, and it's because it seemed to be me that has to do all of the initiating. I think this is because poor John has been shot down so many times that he finally just left it up to me to initiate, which I could totally tell you that has been me, and I have had that happen to where I'm like, well, you're the one, and it's stupid because I realize that it makes my wife not feel sexy because I'm not making any moves on her. But in my mind, I'm like, she's fucking tired, and she's so busy.
The last thing, to be kind, she's pissed.
Because the societal joke is like, hey, you feel that poking you in your butt cheek? Let's get it on, you know? But anyway, sorry. Since having kids, one of which still sleeps with us, the afternoons are the best time for us to have alone time since our kids go to my mom's then. And so whenever I would think of it, I would ask him to come home early so these crazy kiddos, so we could be together. Well, unfortunately, since physical affection is low on my love language list, and since having these crazy kiddos, sex is pretty much the last thing on my to-do list. So needless to say, we go a while without having it. Eventually, John will start to get really cranky, and it makes me feel horrible and really guilty. The other day, I realized why I am the one in charge of when we have sex. I have enough on my plate without trying to make sure I schedule in our sex life, so I came up with a plan. I love John very much, and now I understand that affection is his biggest love language and strongest need, and I am gladly willing to have sex with him whenever he wants. He just needs to be the one to plan it. If this is the biggest need, he needs to be the one to go after it. All I asked from him was that he give me a couple hours notice so that I could switch from mob mode to love mode. And I'm not the type of girl who needs a lot of romance, so all he literally has to do is send me a text that says something like, hey, babe, could I come home early so we can have some fun? And I will be all in. So I talked to John about it, and he loved the idea. And he even took advantage of it the next day. LOL. I cannot tell you how happy this new plan has made me. Now I feel a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders, and he gets his, I'm getting goosebumps, I'm so sorry. And
he
gets his needs met way more than he ever did before. So I want to thank you both, because without the info you gave us, I never would have thought of this new idea, and it has made a world of difference in our relationship. I know this plan wouldn't work for everyone, but maybe there are other couples out there struggling like we were, and maybe this could be something helpful for them. Anyway, love you and miss you and the family. Can't wait to see you guys again, blah, blah, blah. So I thought that was unbelievably sweet.
That's amazing. I'm so happy to hear that.
Yes. I wanted to make sure. I think I might have forwarded to you. This was sent almost a year ago, but I wanted to make sure that you got the information and said it on the show, because I think there are a lot of listeners who listen to these episodes that you do with us and are like, yes, yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I think my assumption is that this is a big part of why you do what you do, and also why you are willing to come on the show gratis. And so everybody appreciates it immensely, including myself.
Thank you, Justin. And I appreciate it too. And please, you know, email in your questions and email in things that you want to hear. They can also email me too, Justin, if you want.
Yeah, if you want, Rachel, I know this is a production meeting on the show. I can even set you up with an email called rachel@thedadpodcast.com if you want.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that so people can write in, and we'll make this a more often thing, because now that I'm set in a real place, and I would love to.
Awesome. Cool. Well, let's see. What other plugs can I give you? If you want to email the show, you could send it to show@thedadpodcast.com. But even bigger, if you want to have more questions answered the next time Rachel and I do an episode together, please send those to questions@thedadpodcast.com. You could follow the show on Twitter @dadpodcast. Go to facebook.com/dadpodcast and give us a like. That's a great way if you want to talk to me. You can follow me on Twitter at Justin Worsham. You can follow the beautiful and lovely and amazingly smart and talented, everything I could say amazing about her, Rachel, at The Love Intern on Twitter. Yes, yes?
No, we changed it.
Oh, crap. What happened?
I know. It's at Therapist Rachel.
Ooh, Therapist Rachel. I like it already.
I know.
So you could reach out to her there via Twitter. Yes. And, of course, now you can send her an email to rachel@thedadpodcast.com.
I also have to plug one other thing. Is
plug
okay
everything you want to plug, Rachel.
So my mother is a blogger and an author. And she's doing this whole Valentine's Day, February amazing thing where she's taking videos of different couples and asking them what's made their relationship successful.
Ooh.
And I know it totally made me think of our thing tonight. So yeah. The next video she's actually putting out is me and my boyfriend. We did it through iChat, but her Twitter handle is @NancyTellsAll. And her website is nancytellsall.com. So she calls herself an MD, a maven of dating. Her blog is all about relationships and dating after divorce. So it's some really cool stuff this February.
Nancy Tells All. I'm going to put that in the description so people who are driving or whatever, they can have an way to
yeah,
have it in
Nancy
text
Tells
form.
All. And she looks just like me, so there's no confusion.
And, you know, it's funny because this slipped my mind. I was thinking about it while I was working on the house. Is there anything that you could think of? I know for anybody, this is last minute. I'm literally going to let this go after we're done recording because I need an episode out. So we got Valentine's weekend coming this weekend. Say I'm a dad and I'm a husband and I want to show my wife that I love her. I guess I should have been planning further in advance, but maybe this episode has inspired me. What's some tips that could get me out of any kind of writer's block situation?
Find out what her love language is.
Okay. All right. I have one day to do that. And then day two.
Don't waste your money on flowers.
Ah.
Because they die very quickly and they're very expensive. So that's what your woman will think about.
They sponsor a lot of podcasts and they don't sponsor this show. So that's how you know that I just do it, is that I use Sherry's Berries because my wife does not like flowers for that exact reason you described. But she loves chocolate covered strawberries. And then what I do is I get her like a half a dozen chocolate covered strawberries. And then I get a little extra thing that I think that I've noticed that she really is into lately. Like right now, she's really on a caramel kick. So they have salted caramels that I could throw in another half dozen of those. So I added that in and then get delivered to her at work on Valentine's Day.
You know, that's really cute. I think for me, having a card that is just handwritten, it means more than anything.
Doesn't even have to be a poem.
What?
It doesn't even have to be a poem, I feel like.
No.
Just like, oh, this is your ass jiggling is just the best thing I've ever seen, my Valentine. So I want you to come
home
tonight.
Please validate my ass jiggling.
And put your finger in my asshole this Valentine's Day.
Amazing.
Remember when I took that sweet thing and I ruined it?
Yeah, you did. You totally did. Stupid.
On behalf of my dear friend, Ms. Rachel Gibbs, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty.